This summer we've been looking at an old and familiar text in the Bible. And some would say that it's irrelevant today, but as we re-examine this text, we discover that it's not only relevant today, it's critically important that we understand that the Ten Commandments are given by God as an expression of His love and grace and concern for us. So in light of that, would you take your Bible and join me in the book of Exodus in the 20th chapter and locate for our reading today verses 1 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 11, and let's stand together as we read from God's Word. Now we will be focusing only on verses 8 through 11, but in context, the Word of God says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." May God bless our reading of His Word. You may be seated. By the time of Jesus, these things known as the Ten Commandments had been examined, interpreted, applied, and there were, by the time of Jesus, additional laws pertaining to the Ten Commandments. These laws were the interpretations and the applications of such laws, so that in Jesus' day, there were exactly 39 laws attached to this one of the commandments. And those 39 laws that were added to this one commandment could be applied and were applied in a manifold way, so that by the time someone came to understand this commandment, there was a world of confusion about it. But not only was there confusion about the Sabbath and this commandment, but there was, well, I don't know how to say it, except to say corruption related to this day. Because as it turned out, the multitude of interpretations of this commandment resulted in an overweighted burden on people of little income and little means. So it favored the material wealthy, it disfavored the poor. Now, when it comes to our era, our day, and we talk about the Sabbath day, there are a wide range of views as well. I'll give you one example, or two examples maybe. There is a group known as, the most popular group I think, is known as the Seventh-day Adventists. And the Seventh-day Adventists argue that because the Sabbath was worshipped or observed on the seventh day of the week, we should today still be observing the Sabbath on the seventh day of the week. Now, just for your information, the word Sabbath does not mean seventh. It means stop. It means stop. That's what it means. So it doesn't mean seventh. It did, however, occur on the seventh day of the week. And so the tie together has obviously occurred. And on the other end of the spectrum are the people who say that it is no different than any other day. In my lifetime, I remember blue laws. Do any of you remember blue laws? Do you know we still have blue laws? Now, there are not many of them, but we still have blue laws. For instance, if you drink hard liquor, you should have bought it yesterday. You can't buy it today in Texas. And the reason is blue laws. But I think if you polled most Americans, they would say it's just another day of the week. So what's the deal with the Sabbath and today? Well, let's look at the commandment. And we're going to look at some other passages of Scripture where Scripture interprets itself. It tells us in Scripture how that Scripture is to be applied and to be understood. So let's look at it. First of all, in Exodus chapter 20, you are to, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the commandment. And of all the commandments, this is the very first commandment that does not begin with a do not or a negative. This commandment is a positive assertion to do something. Remember the Sabbath day. It's a holy day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It doesn't begin with the word thou shalt not or don't, but it is positive. And the word Sabbath, as we've already said, could simply mean stop working or stop. And the intent is to observe that this day is different from all the other days. Now, what does he mean? What does it mean to keep this day holy? The word holy means set apart. Another way of understanding it is it belongs to God. This day belongs to God. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. I'm going to give you an example. This is a peppermint. It's a peppermint. And I could declare this peppermint is holy. It's set apart. It belongs to God. I don't know how I would manifest that or practice it, but we are the ones who ascribe this setting aside. Now, God has done that regarding the Sabbath, this day of stopping. He's set it aside. Now, he set it aside as one day out of the seven. Now, I want you to understand something. Deceased and beloved Pastor Ron Dunn showed me this. God always reserves something in the material world to remind us that He is Lord of all. Shall I repeat that? The Lord always keeps for Himself something in the material world to remind us that He is Lord of all. So He has set a day aside to remind us that He is Lord. I think it's interesting. When Christians begin to think about these things that God has set aside for Himself to remind us that He is Lord, we find a way to circumvent that setting aside. I mean, as soon as you mention the Sabbath, people will immediately respond, "What about? What about?" Now, who set this day aside? Did we set this day aside? You can answer. Who set this day aside? God did. It's His day. It's not our day. By the way, these are the Ten Commandments. They're not the Ten Collaborations. God did not ask us for our disposition regarding His commandments. He gave them. As our Creator, He gave them. As the one who gave us this creation, He gave us commandments regarding it in respect to time. You understand that when God made this world in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, time began. Time began, not for God's sake, for our sake. And the fact that God rested on the seventh day indicates that God functions. He functions within the perspective of our time. And He shows us in this commandment that He demands we observe Him within the use of the time He has given us. I won't even go into tithing. Should we tithe? Well, I don't know. Where'd you get all that stuff you've got? If you got that stuff of your own hand, of your own ingenuity, if you got all that stuff by your creativity, and good on you, but I'm just going to ask you, where'd you get that creativity? Where'd you get that strength? Where'd you get that ingenuity? A pastor friend of mine was asked, now pastor, should we tithe on the gross or should we tithe on the net? And the pastor responded, whatever you're grateful for, tithe on that. Well, you see, God has reserved for Himself. That makes it holy. But He has reserved for Himself of our time. And He has done so because He understands us intricately. I'm going to give you, I try not to use four-letter words in the pulpit. And most of the time I'm successful, but I'm about to use a four-letter word. I'm warning you. Work. Now I'm approaching this from a standpoint, and I want you to hear me. Commandment is to observe the holiness of a day of the week by ceasing something that we are equally commanded to do. Work is commanded. Work is intended. We live in a culture where work seems to be optional. And honestly, folks, we've made it that way. Let's be honest about it. We've made it that way. It's possible to be a taker and never a contributor in our country. But eventually, the takers will outnumber the makers, and the result will be catastrophe. God never had a plan for us not to work. Work was our model. It was our life. And it is not, I hate this when people say, well, the reason we have to work is because of the fall of man. He was given work before he ever fell, before he ever sinned. I think it's hilarious that we can get so confused in the nature of humanity that we fail to understand God made us to be workers. He gave us the responsibility of dominion over this earth. It's our stewardship, our responsibility. Well, and then he says in verse 10 of our text, he says, don't cheat. Don't cheat on this day. You keep it holy by resting one day out of the seven, by understanding it's his day, not our day, and by remembering, but also by not cheating. He says, "Don't on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. As much as it is possible, you should stop your usual work, that work that is connected with the other days of the week, and stop causing other people to have to work. I didn't write it, but I can read it. But we can't believe it when our favorite restaurant, Chick-fil-A, is not open on Sundays. Don't cheat. Don't shift your work over to somebody else. Either your children, your family, your friends, your neighbors, making them work. There are already people that are at work, so we can be here right now. Did you know that? I mean, it's a free country. We know that, but people are getting paid to allow us to meet here right now. They work for the utility company. And I'm grateful that they are at work. I think we'd renovate this building pretty quick if they didn't. We'd put some windows in this place. Now, the basis of this commandment is very simple. God rested. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. You see that? God made it holy. Because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. The order was made. The job was done. The rest, the stop, the cessation of his creation was now here. God didn't rest because he was exhausted and weary and couldn't build another thing. God rested because his job was done. He stopped working when he had done his job. And he makes this day holy as a reminder to us that it is a God-ordered universe. This place where we live, that some people believe is the result of pure chance, is in fact a divinely ordered, established, and kept universe. And this day being set aside as a commandment for us is to be a reminder that, well, this is our Father's world. And let me ask you a question. If God didn't fix a day, what day would you choose? If God didn't fix a day for us to recognize and remember Him, what day would you choose? Tragedy is, we have all these devices, technology that is intended to make our life easier, for us to do things faster, to give us more time. And we are the most hurried generation in the history of the world. We are going faster and faster and adding more and more to our schedule so that when we arrive at something that is on our calendar, we can't even remember why it's there and why we're here. So I ask you, what day would you, out of the normal flow of your life, set aside every week to remember that this is the Father's world? The answer is plain. We'd never do it. We would never do it. It's a holy day, folks, because God is a holy God. And in the course and structure of our time, God wants us to remember Him. Remember this Sabbath day. That is, do not permit things to push it off our schedule or to push it out of our attention. There's a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. It's also partially recorded in the second chapter of the book of Mark. It's interesting. Some scriptural experts, in this case they were known as Pharisees, they were a sect of Judaism that fastidiously observed the law. Now, I'm not talking about just the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about that elaborate system that had been constructed that interpreted and applied. It was equally authoritative with the commandments, and oftentimes it completely corrupted the commandments, which is why Jesus came back to correct that corruption and to tell us He didn't come to abolish the law, but He came to what? Fulfill it. And sometimes in His fulfilling the law, He did things that appeared to these religious experts to be violating the law. And on one of those occasions, as recorded in Mark chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 12, on one of those occasions, Jesus on a Sabbath day was walking through the field and His disciples just began to wipe grains off of the stalks, likely of wheat, and eat them. They were snacking on the Sabbath day. Here's how it goes. One of the Pharisees said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." according to Mark's gospel, he adds this word, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And he goes on and he enters the synagogue. And as he's entering the synagogue, there's a man with a withered hand. And Jesus is about to heal him, and one of the Pharisees says, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And Jesus responds in the same passage in Matthew 12, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched out his hand, and it was restored, healthy like the other hand. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. You see, the Sabbath had been corrupted as a means of controlling people's behavior. And Jesus would not be controlled by their corruption. Rather, he took control and he showed the meaning of these laws as they existed. Not only is the Sabbath day a holy day, but as Jesus demonstrates, it is a ministry day as well. We have to ask the right questions. I'm not sure we ask the right questions. I have people ask me, and if you've asked me this, I'm not slandering you, I'm not belittling you, but I have people ask me regularly, "What about this on the Sabbath?" Or "What about this? I have to work. Is that acceptable on the Sabbath day?" And I understand, you know, the intent to observe God's law, but I want to tell you something. It ain't my day. Don't ask me. Ask the right person. It's his day. Ask that question. And you're far more likely to get an answer that is understandable, reasonable, than you are for me. Ask questions like, "Lord, if this is your day, and it is, how can I honor you on this day? Lord, my family and I are thinking about doing this on this day. Would that activity honor you, make you known, or would it belittle you, and would it obscure you from other people? How can I, on this one day, show that you are the glory of my life?" Can I take about a minute, just a minute, and break off for just a second here? I want to give you a pet peeve, okay? It bothers me, even though it's not a violation of God's law, it bothers me when Christians in public will not pray over their food. That bothers me. They've gone past that. They've gotten over that. They know better now. It's just not. It's rude. I'm going to tell you something. Though it's not law that you have to do it, please understand me, folks. Ask yourself why you're not doing it. Instead of all the reasons that you can get around it, ask yourself, why am I not doing it? Who are you afraid of offending? It certainly isn't God. Okay, I'm done. And on the Lord's Day, you go to a restaurant and go as a Sunday school class, and I haven't seen this, understand me, but for heaven's sakes, pray. Pray. For some of us, that's the closest thing we ever get to sharing the gospel, is people seeing us give some kind of credit to God. Okay, I'm done. And I may not be, because it's really bothering me these days. How do you minister on the Lord's Day? Well, I'm going to tell you what I do. I know this is going to crack you up. You're going to think, oh, that's not very much. I know it's not very much, but I listen to classic rock. Except on Sundays. First thing I do when I get in the truck is I hit The Message on my radio. And I listen to Christian music on Sunday. People ask all the time, well, is it wrong to watch TV on Sunday? It's not my day, folks. It's not my day, but I do think you ought to be very considerate about what you do with that day. How about read your Bible? Maybe read the Word of God. Maybe that would be a good way to minister to yourself, by reading God's Word. But as Jesus exemplified, there's no better day of the week to show the mercy of God than on the Lord's Day. Now, I have made a crossover in the course of this discussion. I have gone from calling it the Sabbath day to calling it the Lord's Day. And I've done so because it became the practice of the early church, the church that formed out of the resurrection and the gospel spread, that church which began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, that church naturally began to worship God on the first day of the week. It says repeatedly, on the first day of the week. Early church history demonstrates that it was the unanimous practice of the church in the first, second, and third century to worship God on the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember what Jesus said, this day was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So whether it's Saturday or Sunday, and I think Sunday is the day of the example of the early church, and it's why we worship on Sunday, it has not abrogated the commandment of the reason we observe this day. It is a holy day. It is a ministry day. And finally, it is a celebration day. It is a day for us to celebrate. Listen again to the text. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. You remember that at the end of each day, God was pleased with what He had done. Can you imagine His satisfaction when the work was done? He pleased Himself. So when we recognize a day of the week, to stop and attribute it to the day of the Lord, the Lord's Day, we are doing what God did. We are acknowledging, another word for that is worshiping, celebrating this living God. In Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah writes, verse 13, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Could it be? Could it be that the Sabbath is God's way of dealing with depression? Sure appears that way. And let me ask you a question to close. Does God ever move in your life in church on Sunday? Does God ever speak to you through the Word, through worship? Because do you ever sense the presence of God? Just yes or no, ever. Then why on earth would you not do this? Why on earth would you not do this? Is there anything on the face of this earth more important than the celebration of the Lord of the Sabbath? Let's pray.